As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Welcome to another Odyssey check-in at the Hard Rock New York Rockstar Suite with the Lumineers. Hi, guys.
Hello.
What's happening? Not much going on with you guys these days.
just drinking an iced tea in the Rockstar Suite.
Yeah. I think about this a lot because you guys can cross generations and you can cross so many different lifestyles and human beings. I wonder what the best place, what you guys would say is the best place to receive a Lumineers song. Coffee shop, you know, MMA fight.
I always felt like they're so quiet in the coffee shop. Like our
probably two teenagers making out in a car.
Yeah.
Oh.
One of the coolest things.
I was thinking a dentist office.
That too, though. Yeah. I remember watching the 5-hour Eagles documentary, and it just made me love the Eagles and just love them so much more than I already had. And I think Don Henley said the Eagles was music that was listened to by people when important life moments were happening, a cross-country trip, first make out, maybe the death of a family, you know, consoling you through something difficult. And I thought that would be the coolest sort of compliment to our music, is that it's the backdrop to people's lives, you know, driving. I mean, I think for us, Wes and I, we used to drive the 15-passenger van, I mean, quite literally sometimes 9, 10, 12 hours to the next gig from Colorado to Nebraska or to Idaho, wherever we were going, and throwing on records like Bright Eyes or just discovering, listening even to not music like Radio Labs and these podcasts, books on tape we listened to. I remember we listened to The Hunt for Red October, but which was awesome, by the way, because after like 10 hours, music's
how long is that book,
fatiguing.
By the way?
It was long, but it was you know.
We were in there for a while, though.
Yeah. And I think you fall in love with music when it's sort of in the background, ironically, but it seeps into your blood in that way.
I love the idea of putting it around big moments of your life, because it just reinforces it. No matter how old you get, no matter whatever happens, you know exactly where you were when you felt that. When it comes to the new album, congratulations, Automatic.
Thank you so much.
Valentine's Day, very apropos. Certain reason for a Valentine's Day, I wonder?
Yeah, Ben Queller... musician friend, he said, like, Lumineers is for lovers, and I like that. So we're trying to put out a shirt that doesn't get us sued by the state of Virginia.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough.
But no, it was not intentional. It was like pure happenstance, but it does feel like weirdly appropriate.
Feel like it's the most personal album. The authenticity still is there for sure. The driving force behind Lumineers songs, it feels like the authenticity is the thing that I feel the most from you guys.
Take that as a compliment. I feel like part of it is trying to say the most with the least, you know? So some of it is like trying to figure out minimal ways to do something. And then the other part of it is, it's not always about, like, if I'm writing a lyric, it's not about my life necessarily, or it's trying to tell a story and tell that, you know, as like unflinchingly or as honestly as you can. And so I would like to believe that they that has a resonance, that if you're just writing to sound clever, that has a different feeling to it. And it's also something that I got from like something early on, like listening to Tom Petty's Free Falling, where he's like, she's a good girl, loves her mother, loves Jesus and America. And it's these, this like smattering of imagery that like only he could come up with. It's just perfect though. And he kind of takes you to the scene and he sets it in the way that feels so personal. I think that, that as an example was like, wow, no one's writing like that. I love that. You know,
well, answer, clarify something for me, because I feel like I've heard a couple of different answers to this. Did this, how quickly did this come about? From start to finish, the writing process to feeling like, oh, this is pretty good.
I think it was like 7 days of writing.
Yeah, which is very quick for us. I would imagine that'd be quick for any band, but 6 months of writing Cleopatra, about 3 months of writing album three, yeah. About half that for Brightside, and you see a trend happening. Yeah. I live in Italy full time, and I moved back to Denver. Well, I went back to my old house that's still there in Denver where Wes still lives. We met in my basement. I think in 4 days we had...
Yeah, ironically, no one lives in your house in Denver anymore, but we still go in the basement. Yeah. We have like the whole run of the house. It's like, let's go where there's like garden level. It's just like where we,
who are you guys? Tony where Soprano? We preferred.
You should see it now. Actually,
dark dealings.
I moved up Firewood up to the main floor.
Oh, we're living now.
And it's crazy. Yeah, yeah. We could make album six.
It'll just sound too happy. Yeah, and we'll have to go back down to the basement.
But it was really fast, and I think that it was odd that Wes and I both looked at each other and was like, I think Wes was like, I think you can fly home, and I was like, nah, there's still got to be more toil.
There's got to be a shred of doubt that comes in. Yeah, like, it shouldn't have been this easy.
A little bit of doubt. I think in the past, you know, we tended to maybe strangle our music metaphorically to the point that we knew. And I think that was, I think it had to be done that way. I think if we did it any other way. But I think from that sort of, you can call it OCD. You can call it, I mean, I'm even proud of our obsessiveness with our, with our songwriting format together over the last two decades. I think that it developed a series of creatively shorthand with each other.
Yeah.
Whereas when I'm playing piano, typically Wes is playing guitar and he's singing. We start to kind of fill these grooves in where I don't feel like it's copy and paste from previous songs we've written together, but it's sort of like there's an incredible hive mind or synergy that we have creatively that can only be obtained through so much work together, I think.
How much, though, but when you're coming in, though, how many notes have you shared before you walk in and just plop down and say, let's do it?
I think you had like 8 batches of notes. I had less. It's usually like, when we lived together early on, because out of necessity, you know, you end up like sharing a house or an apartment with roommates and all this. And we used to just be around each other a lot, but not really be like rehearsing or writing. It would just be like he'd be noodling around or one of us would be doing something, and that was a really great way to like find good ideas. And so to sort of recreate that feeling, I'm like, send me everything, like anything that you think is even remotely decent, and I'm happy to like listen through it, because it's kind of like I'm eavesdropping on someone in the living room. So it's kind of a little bit like that.
Yeah, it's a good way to describe it.
And there's like a lot of notes that end up piling up, but then it quickly comes down to like a small batch.
Sure.
And then you sort of almost like a collider where you're like taking two ideas and smashing them together. Often I think the best songs are sort of written separately and then they somehow have this relationship that they can work.
Yeah. But it all comes down to the familiarity that you two have and the comfort that you have with each other, that you kind of cut through some of the noise that doesn't need to be there, right?
Yeah, I think, yes, certainly. I think a big part of why, you know, this marks, Jer kind of mentioned it in passing, like it'll be 20 years in August of me and him writing music together. And I think the reason that it's so lasting is because there's not like much of an ego attached to any of our ideas per se. It's like an excitement around finding a good idea, whoever has the idea, just getting to that thing. And I think maybe that's what hamstrings a lot of bands is, you know, you have a guitar player saying, well, where's my solo? Or you have a singer saying like, I got to mention this, or, you know, I think it's, I hope it's about something bigger than that and maybe a little less egotistical. and the end result is like you can get a better song because no one's they're not, like, their feelings hurt. I remember there were things like there were different instances where one of us, I remember spending 3-4 hours on these backing vocals early on. Jared was at work and I was like in the studio recording a vocalist, and then I showed him and he was like, I don't know, man. I'm like, yeah, I don't either. And we just muted it. But I think there's this propensity in music to be like, well, I worked really hard on it, so like we got to use it or it's got to be good.
I think that was like a pivotal moment in our like history. This like positive, long-lasting precedent was set, and I think that it works both ways mutually. I think that, you know, if Wes is considered the singer and the lyricist, mm-hmm. I send him lyrics all the time that stink, and sometimes he's like, I actually see something in this. And sure. Even on a song, first album, Submarines, I wouldn't consider Wes a drummer, but he had these really great drum ideas to delete, to subtract from what started out as a very like drummery idea. And he had these really like great, insightful ways to like pair things back. And I was like, wow, I wouldn't have thought of
but
that.
But it's like your curiosity around the idea, because I think some people go, oh yeah, that's this. And they like explain it back as the resident expert. And I don't think that has any place when you're making something. It's just showing the room that you know something that they don't, or something. It's like very, I mean, it's the same thing with one of my favorite songs off the new record, You're All I Got. It's like, it's in where we are in the last record, where there's like these examples, Jared will send a lot of notes, but there are sort of jewels and gems in there. And it's like, I think there's a trust now to where he's not like, he's trying to write and I'm trying to come up with different things, but like there's not a, I think he knows like if I find something that I'm like, that's amazing, I really believe it, I mean it. And so song like You're All I Got, that hook, Jer wrote the lyrics and the melody, and then I was like, wow, that's like, it's so simple but it's so to the point. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like we have kids now, right around the ages 6, 7 and 4, and
good ages. They're,
yeah, it's really amazing time, but they ask a lot of questions that everyone should be asking, but you forget to ask as you get older. It's just kind of like you accept it. Mm-hmm. And
like,
and
what? What's one of the answers?
Why you say grandma's in heaven? What is that? You know, like, you're like, oh, it's a hold on. And then my wife might feel a certain way about the afterlife, and it gets really complicated. Yeah. It's in our song, same old song, where I'm like referencing my kid saying something that is actually kind of profound that we just overlook. Don't worry, grandma's in heaven, or da da da. And
the very Don Draper way of becoming a dad, like, yeah. Don't think about that.
Yeah, or exploring it, and then your wife going, why are you getting into this dark subject? Mm-hmm. Or sitting down at a Disney movie and every one of them opens with like a parent dying, and you're like, wow, it's actually amazing of Disney that they do that. Like, you would never think they would tread in that zone. But I sat down to watch Lion King, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, you know, or...
Have you seen Ferdinand?
Yeah.
Like, first 5 minutes, the bull gets smoked. And my daughter, 3.5 years old, she's like, Daddy, where'd he go? I'm like, I went to the farm.
Yeah, the farm, yes.
In our family, we say they became a star, like, when somebody passes. And I think it's vague enough that they're like, that's beautiful.
You,
like,
you talk about ideas that come into the conversation. Whose idea was it? And correct me if I'm wrong, the theory of this being what's real, what's not real, you know, what's real in life. And I'm guessing there's some AI implications here. But if that's the theory, how can you tell the difference between what's real and what's not real? And then you
well, on Instagram, I look for the kids. On Instagram, I look for the AI.
Yeah, that whatever, part's easy, you know? Sure.
But we're going to reach a point where the comment section on any post is going to say, is this AI? This is AI. Like, there will be even more. It could get so good. The irony, though, just to rewind for a second, is some of the special effects from like just a few years back, maybe 10 years back, is sort of better than some of the special effects now. And I think it's because they've gotten sort of cheaper trying to use AI. For us, with Same Old Song, it was like this idea of, we wanted to do one take for the music video where it was like us in a room and a guy with a camera, like on a harness. I forget what they call it. It's like a, do you know the name? A stabilizer. And it's a very heavy camera, and the guy's just moving around, and he's kind of rotating his camera as we're moving around, and we can, when he's not on us, we can do different things and reset. And but behind us is this, is these very real screens, but on them is AI generated content, and sort of the idea of, you know, we're real, you think you know we're real in that video, behind us is very surreal and not real, it's AI clearly. And and you know, you see people, they're like, oh my god, no more AI. It's like, AI is here to stay.
It just got here. Yeah, guys. We just now are starting.
It's kind of just got here, but it's also here to stay. And there will be a way to use it, maybe to cure cancer. Who knows? Like, there will be great benefits to this, and then there will be eye rolling things that companies and people do. But I think we were found. I was finding, you take like an event like, I don't know, the outcome of a game, an election. It could be anything. There's going to be I've seen all these weird AI of like a shark or an alligator, and yeah. It's not, but it's almost fooling me where I'm like, there's going to be a time when the deep fake AI will completely fool us. And it's a scary idea. And then it also brings to light, like in our own life, we are so attached at the hip to our phone, sometimes literally, that what separates, you know, like, what you're discussing that's real versus like if you're around someone who gossips all the time about people they don't even know, what's different from that, from me talking about showing you my phone all the time and a clip I do, which I can do. And I get so, looking back, like annoyed at like the things I choose to.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous, but I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
There's going to be a day when we look back, it's probably like next week, we're like, man, remember the time when AI couldn't get fingers right?
Yeah. Totally.
Oh, those quaint days where hands weren't good.
Yeah.
Now it's, you know, spiders swallowing sharks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
They had said that AI prompts are unable to do a certain rendering of a watch. I forget the time, but the most, like 99.9% of the watches that you'll see on Google Images and the whole world, maybe it's like, what would it be, 6 p.m.? There's some like that watch companies will always have the same exact dials, the minute hand.
Oh,
and hour
really?
Hand, because it looks the best.
Uh-huh. Probably 10 and 2.
Maybe. So like, yeah, maybe like kind of spread like that. Yeah. So if you said like, render me a watch at, you know, 6:13 p.m., it will always, they said there's a phenomenon right now where it can't get little things like that right.
Yeah.
Because it's not really also artificial intelligence if we're going to get into it. It's really just prompts.
Yeah. I mean,
so is that intelligence? It's like,
it tried to make me Harry Styles once, and I think it emptied a river. I don't know if it's working very well. So after 20 years with you guys and the comfort that you have with each other, Any surprises? He's still surprising you? You still surprising him?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that I've heard artists say that some artists are mutually either a good initiator, like a creative, or just they like to react to what the other band members are giving them. And I think that Wes and I think we're good at both.
Yeah.
If I can toot our own horn, and I think that I'm still getting voice memos from him where I'm like, oh, this is great. I never get something where I'm like, man, he wants to do this again. We just did this for two albums in a row. Like, truly, it's like...
Yeah, the best part is that when your weaknesses become your strengths from him, his strengths become his weaknesses, right?
And I think, too, I'll listen to some ideas and I'm like, this is a stretch, but I'll just send it to Wes. Like, it's so far from anything that's good. But I just want him to know that, like, I was into this, like, July 7th, 2019. I want to send him this just to, like, he'll hate it. But then, like, he'll be like, oh, that was really cool. And then it's kind of cool that I'll get surprised by maybe his surprise. So I think that's really, like, exciting, you know?
Last thing for you guys, because I have always been very jealous of people who can wear hats. I can't put anything on the money maker.
Yeah, but you got great hair.
I can't. Why should I cover it? But if you guys are my hat, you know, you're my hat Buddhas.
Gurus.
So, yeah. So if I'm getting a hat... Where are you sending me? What hat store am I going to?
I mean, he's like, do you have a sponsorship or is it just like a relationship?
It's kind of like a little,
getting some cash under the table. Okay.
Those euros. there's this Italian hat company, this one called Borsellino. Uh-huh. I went to their factory in Alessandria.
It's called Germolino.
Yeah. Really cool, though. Each hat takes 52 steps, all handmade, and every hat takes 7 weeks to be made.
Okay.
I was thinking, like, if it was, like, an American company, they would find a way to, like, just churn them out. And it takes forever to get these hats. But there's something cool about that and sort of, you know, the opposite of AI.
And all of a sudden, I look like I'm at Oktoberfest.
I don't know if you could handle it, though.
I cannot. I've got too small of a head.
I was thinking about you. Like, you came back from your studies abroad when we were a band, and you've never taken the hat off since.
or the suspenders, apparently.
I have the original one. It was a fedora from Brighton Beach, which, little Lumineers trivia, me and Wes tried to move to London/Brighton Beach before Denver, but it was too difficult with visas. And
no mountains.
Yeah. But I had this fedora, and it's actually in my house in Denver, and it's like, it looks like it's about to just be like a strong or a light gust of wind would disintegrate it. It's so gross and like... Sun, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to have hair just like yours, and I wore a bigger fedora. Yeah.
No. Come on, you've always had long hair.
I'll show you a photo. Yeah.
Really?
But it would get in my face and get like really annoying on stage, so I started wearing it.
Okay.
This brown kind of like longer brim. It wasn't like a fedora. It was a fedora, I guess, but it was like much longer. And it would fall off like the whole show, like all the time.
Sounds like someone needs the urban sombrero.
But now you could be a sombrero guy.
Yeah, maybe you want like a classic trucker cap or something. I wouldn't go to Lids or something. I found this hat at like a shoe store, one of those like one of those shoe head, like, what do they call it? Hype something. Like,
you definitely don't have money in this one. He's got it in the Italian hat.
No, you don't have
any money in this one.
No, everybody thinks I'm wearing like a Subaru hat, but it says All Wheel Dead. Because I think it's a reference to dead stock, like shoes that they don't make anymore, become more valuable. But I would say like for every 10 hats you buy, you'll probably only like one. But you won't know it until you've worn like 5 times. And then your wife goes, that hat sucks. So you kind of have to like... You have to really like...
She's not paying that much attention,
around. This is your way to peacock a little bit. But you have to play around with it because you don't know what you like until you've kind of worn it out and you catch your own reflection. You're like, either like, damn, that's pretty good, or what was I thinking? So I would encourage you to like...
Yeah, the latter is my entire life.
Buy a few if you can, and then you'll figure it out.
All right, hat advice from Lumineers. Thanks, guys.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.